First, some of the world's most vibrant and flavorful food can be found in India. And the seemingly endless variety of spices and seasoning used in Indian food means that those of us in the kitchen can unleash our creative side.
But traditional Indian dishes can be heavy on ingredients that are low in fiber and sometimes high in carbohydrates. Our next guest reimagined the food of her homeland by substituting healthier options and preserving the flavors that she grew up with.
Deepa Thomas joins us now. She was born and raised in New Delhi and is the author of Deepa's Secrets, Slow Carb, New Indian Cuisine. Deepa, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, you say, you make no secret that your food, your cooking is inauthentic in some ways when it comes to Indian food. What is different from traditional dishes that you've changed in your cooking?
I could say everything, but that wouldn't be correct. And it's exactly what you just said. How could I make this simpler? It's an ode, homage to my American life. Two American sons who now like to cook, and I had to make it easier. And all that came to a head when my husband was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and none of us, I wish I could tell you that I invented new Indian cuisine the day he was diagnosed, but I'm not that devout a wife. it took me a few years and a lot of changes, and it's simpler, delicious, easy to make, understandable, accessible, and most of all, healthy.
And one of your first responses when you were dealing with this diabetes diagnosis was, oh my gosh, the rice. You know, there's rice in so much of Indian food, and then you have the naans. It must have been, at least in the beginning, kind of challenging to figure out how you were going to rework this so that you could take some of those carbs out and do sort of slow absorbing carbohydrates instead.
Yeah, it was a big jolt, a reality check. But then again, I've been a rule breaker all my life, so it was easy to take a left turn. I applied the same principles that I took in my career of going left when the whole pack went right. And I'd be happy to tell you more about that.
Yeah, what kind of changes were key to making the Indian food with the flavors that you loved and that your family loved, but having a healthier stuff that would be good for somebody, say, with type 2 diabetes?
Yeah. First of all, I think we'll all agree that mouth feel and familiarity guide what our preferences might be in food. So I didn't compromise on flavor at all. In fact, if I took an overly refined food out or a carbohydrate out, my rule was to bump up the flavor. And as long as you did that, you likely would be able to achieve what people call Indian food. But Indian food, like every cuisine, is influenced by borderless techniques, I like to call them. We're all influenced by global cuisine, and I took advantage of the fact that I have had the great pleasure of dining in some of the best restaurants and learning at the elbows of some incredible chefs, even Michelin star chefs.
And in terms of the flavor profile, what stays the same? We've been talking about what changed, but what did you keep?
So important to know that seeds and spices are not just flavor boosters, but they are health ingredients. So seeds, simply put, and easy to understand, bear the promise of life, as we all know. And it's packed with micronutrients. And I tend to enjoy infusing my oils that I should cook in and make sure they're unrefined. And generally, I prefer unrefined coconut oil or olive oil or sesame seed oil, but infuse it with spices and herbs so that anything else you do to it, say you were to caramelize onions on top of it, it's already creating layers of flavor. And so I didn't take any of the flavor boosters out, just the refined carbs and any refined carbs, grains included, rice included.
A big part of the flavor in your dishes comes down to, I think, one piece of advice. There are lots of curry powder mixes on the market in the stores, and you say, don't buy them. Make your own.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, because any spice blend, and this goes beyond curry powder, which is a mythical name for something I think the Brits created when they came to India. But that aside, let's not blame them for everything. But any spices or spice mixes left on the shelf for long will be closer to sawdust than the flavors you want. And it's best to keep whole spices, seeds, toast them and grind them up. And so I give my signature curry powder recipe. I think every kitchen in India has its own signature. And mine is an easier, simpler, flavorful version that you can use for other, you know, any recipe that calls for curry powder.
We're talking with Deepa Thomas right now. She's the author of the book, Deepa's Secrets, Slow Carb, New Indian Cuisine. And you also point out that your dishes, you don't want to call them diet food. You say that, and they're slow carb, you say, not no carb. Can you talk about that a little bit, about what a slow carb is and what they do for our bodies?
Yes. There is a distinction, because no carb is the word no. There's nothing allowed. Mine, it focuses on how long a food takes to convert to sugar, and all foods convert to sugar in the end. And the longer it takes, the healthier it is for you. So if a food has more fiber, it becomes slower for it to get absorbed. And that's a good thing. So slow carb likely has more fiber in the carbohydrate and slows down the digestion. So that aids your body. Otherwise, it just quickly converts to, it converts to energy, but then unused energy converts to fat.
Now, I got to ask, this is a debate I've had myself as a parent and a cook over the years. I have a hard time getting my kids to eat anything but slow carbs in the carb families. They love plain pasta, white bread, white rice. I have trouble getting whole grain stuff, quinoa, barley you have in the book. How do you sell those to kids?
Very good question. Do it slowly. And no sudden moves when it comes to kids. I think introducing the layered flavors from my book, even if you let them eat whatever it is that they're eating. So if they like pasta, don't cut it off in an instant. You find, I don't know if you can find where you are, but definitely where we are, we get pastas made from whole grains. And that's different than the pretend whole grains on supermarket shelves, which have already taken the bran out and, you know, it's dead food. But if you can get small manufacturers of grain, they will, you know, that's look for pastas that are made from that. And in time, focus on the mouthfeel. So if you were to switch out a simple carb for a slow carb, and you might introduce a whole grain, make sure it's nice and goopy. You know, you can make lovely sauces. I bet if you made a sauce with browned shallots and some garlic and used coconut milk instead of cream, and herbs, like, you know, their favorites, it could be thyme, it could be anything that they like, and slowly introduce that would be my suggestion.
I want to get to some of the recipes that you shared with us, and you've included a dal recipe. Now, dal, it seems like, can be simple if it's made to be, but dals can also be incredibly complex and have incredibly long laundry list of ingredients. And yours, it strikes a nice balance, but you do call it, you give a nod, and you say dal for dummies. That's what you call this one. So it's not intimidating.
You must forgive me.
Yeah, tell us about your dal.
Well, I think the simpler the better. And there's a particular kind of dal that I recommend highly if it's possible to get. It's chana dal. And they say in India, it's the secret of North Indian women for staying slim. It's high fiber. And you find it in most, now even in supermarkets, but you can certainly get it online or an Indian grocery store. Keep it on hand and don't overcook it. That's another secret. Make your body work. I think dals in restaurants are sometimes overcooked and you just get a goopy mush. I like some texture al dente and lightly flavored. Again, there's a trick at the end, which I have called tadka, and tadka is essential to Indian cooking of various kinds. It's a sort of topping, but it's also a final flourish where you're heating some oil, whatever your favorite oil is. Hopefully it's not refined. And then it could be mustard seeds and shallots and curry leaf. And it's an instant sprinkling. Keep a lid handy because things will splutter. And that, as soon as it splutters, is done, and you top the dal with it. So it just gives this yummy, the recipe is pretty clear. And mine is on the lighter version, but, you know, try it. And I'd love to hear from you once you've tried it.
And we're talking right now with Deepa Thomas, author of Deepa's Secrets, Slow Carb, New Indian Cuisine, about reimagining the dishes of her homeland in a healthier way. And by the way, you can find that recipe for Dal for Dummies and a couple others over on the Central Time Facebook page.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about preparing Indian food? Have you taken some of your favorite meals, Indian or otherwise, and made them healthier in ways like Deepa is talking about? Do you have diabetes or cook for someone who does? What kind of changes have you made in your cooking? And if you love Indian food, do you have some secrets of your own, some favorite dishes? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post and find those recipes on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And right now we're picking up our conversation with Deepa Thomas. And she's talking with us about reworking the dishes of her native India to include healthier, slow-carb ingredients.
You can join this Food Friday conversation at 800-642-1234 with your questions, maybe your own advice. Are you interested in trying out some Indian-style cooking but need a little bit of advice? If you make Indian food, what are some of your secret ingredients or favorite meals? And for any kind of cooking, have you tried making your food healthier by substituting maybe for those simple grains, the white rice, the white bread sorts of things, and including higher fiber, slow carb ingredients? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page and find some of our guest recipes while you're there.
And Deepa, I don't know what the weather's like where you are, I think in the Bay Area, but here in Wisconsin in the South, it's been kind of hot, and you've got a great recipe, which I think would be a little cooling but still savory. It is a yogurt salad. It's Chukwu's yogurt salad combining yogurt and then some savory flavors, too. Can you tell us how that one comes together?
Yeah, this is a great standby and usually in addition to any menu that I make for a dinner party. And it's fundamentally, when you look at the recipe, it's flavoring the yogurt with subtle spices and fresh herbs and then topping it. And that's the made up portion. And I give Chukwu. Chukwu is a dear family friend of many years. I think when I first met her, I was probably 10 years old, and she just recently visited me in San Francisco and chuckled that she'd better learn her own recipe after looking at what I wrote up. So it's the eggplant shards, if you will, cut up in small pieces and toasted in just a little oil. It's not greasy, but it's the balance between the flavored yogurt and the slight kick of the crisp eggplant that makes this yogurt salad delicious.
And it seems like this is something that would be pretty easy to do substitutions for. You could play with other vegetables, maybe things that are seasonal for that time of year.
In fact, I encourage it. I call that off-booking. And since I learned to cook in America and scorched the first meal I made, here I sit trying to be an authority on Indian food. Anyone can do this. Yes, please, substitute.
And you write about some of your inspiration, including visiting the pantry, I think it was, of your grandmother, seeing what was in there. And I wonder if you could inspire us about what we should have on hand in our own pantry so that we can put some of this type of food together.
Oh, I'll try to do that. And I think, like anything, if we get a little time put away up front to organize things, it becomes easier when you're under pressure. So coming home tired at the end of a long day is not a good time to think about what we should cook for dinner. I encourage a little thought and therefore dedicate, I think it's page 22 in my book, what to keep in the storeroom. But my grandmother, who I lovingly called Mama, my father's mother, whose name I carry, aside from Deepa, my name is Elizabeth, and that was her name, but she was called Mama, and she was somebody who had had to make a life out of thin air. She lived on a farm, and if she didn't grow it, she didn't have it. So she had to go way beyond what I needed to do to dry things and store things. And her storeroom was a kid's paradise, as far as I can remember. And I talk about everything from mango bark that she dried in the sun from some 400 different varieties of mangoes that India has. She probably had about 100 plus varieties in her garden that her husband would, my grandfather would be very happy for me to point to one and cut it. And I mean, there are so many happy memories, but the most fun was jars and jars of wonderful smelling herbs and cardamom and clove and pepper. But one time there was a overturned basket, I should say. And when I went to move it, I could hear this little rustling sound. And there were a brood of chicks she was hatching and had hatched under there, scampering all over the storeroom. And you could just only imagine the joy for a little child.
We're talking.
So take some time and just look at the suggestions I make and then decide what you want and can afford, and a little planning and a little prep ahead of time would go a long way.
Talking to Deepa Thomas, her new book is Deepa's Secrets, Slow Carb New Indian Cuisine. And staying in the pantry for a minute, ducklings or no, encourage us to do something that I've started doing thanks to a previous Food Friday guest, using more spices in seed form, so like cumin seed or coriander seed, and grinding that right on the scene instead of buying it powdered. How much of a difference does that make?
It makes a tremendous difference, Rob, especially if you take the time to dry toast them in a pan. Be careful not to burn them. But anything that is toasted, coriander seed especially, it just comes to life. Cumin seed has a wonderful smoky flavor if you will toast it a little bit. So I encourage toasting of seeds before grinding. And then if you're going to grind it, you know, designate a coffee grinder or a specific grinder. Nothing worse than using your spice grinder for coffee the next morning.
You say at one point, Deepa, use grains that your grandmother would recognize. And so one of the sums you do for white rice is farro or farai. I can never remember how to pronounce that one. But can you tell us about that recipe?
Yes. You know, and we think farro, I think that's a pronunciation, but it was found apparently in the tombs of the pharaohs. So I don't know if farro came from pharaoh, but it's as old as the pharaohs. But everything old is new again, and it's so high fashion to have farro today. But farro has a wonderful texture, and it can be... See, all these grains have something in common. Depending on how long you cook them, it can be al dente or it can be mush. And I tend to prefer the al dente side of things. And so anything you might do to a pilaf, you could do to a farro. That's a fundamental principle. And then you can layer it with, you know, when it's you've got crunchy seeds in them, you might try some dried fruit or something that you enjoy, fresh cilantro and shallot or lemon rind or lemon zest. Or, you know, it's like, for me as a painter, I liken it to painting. You've got all these paints. Now it's up to you what you paint. And you can save any dish, is my motto, except if you burn garlic, in which case, just quietly throw it out and start again.
Now, for somebody who maybe hasn't tried cooking Indian food or Indian-style food in the past, how would you encourage them to get started?
Oh, I think breakfast for any meal would be a good way to think. In our home, you might find one evening... a wonderful masala omelet, which I have a recipe for, with some sautéed vegetables. And the sautéed vegetables would simply have a few Indian spices or herbs. A sprinkle of chaat masala at the end would make it very Indian and hip. So start easy, experiment. Don't be afraid to experiment is what I'd say. And remember that these seeds and spices are 3,000 years old and certainly had their roots in Ayurveda, which is the science of plant-based medicine. And we now know conclusively that illness starts in the gut. And so the question is, these ancient spices from India were focused on how to keep your digestive tract healthy. And when it's healthy, it's happy and you are happy. So start anywhere. Don't be afraid to experiment.
And you added one last recipe for us. It's called Tamji Spicy Kerala Beef with Coconut Chips in about 20 seconds, Deepa. Can you describe what you love about this one?
Well, I think it's a flavor burst. You don't expect beef to have these incredible surprises of coconut chips or the deep-throated flavors of coriander and curry leaf. And if you just follow my recipe, I think you'll get to a place. And of course, did I say I was a rule breaker? People would roll their eyes when I suggest Kobe beef for this meal, but it's an homage to my big brother who I love.
Deepa, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
That was Deepa Thomas, author of Deepa's Secrets, Slow Carb, New Indian Cuisine. Royalties from the book, by the way, benefit Food Corps, a national organization working to connect students with healthy food in schools. And if you have more thoughts on Indian cooking, you can tell us about them on the Central Time Facebook page and check out the recipes we've been talking about, including Dal for Dummies. That's on the Central Time Facebook page.